Could you talk about the challenges that the 49ers defense presents just from the front line of the 3-4, and we can take it on back to the linebackers and secondary?
Well, I mean, we look at the front. We talk about the front seven. I mean, the front, the three down and the four linebackers, and that front seven is as tough as it gets. I mean, they have multiple Pro Bowl players in there, and they're playing well. They're tough against the run, and they're good pass rushers. So tough on both ends.
How does Aldon Smith and Justin kind of play off each other? And then you got Brooks on the other side there.
Yeah, well, I think Smith does a great job with his power of attracting two guys, and then 99 plays off of him, and it's tough. They got some games. It's tough to get them an extra guy over there so they can get 99 free. They've done a good job with that.
In their secondary, they got two safety Pro Bowlers, first time since 05, Brown and Carlos Rogers back there. How tough is that group?
Golston and Carlos Rogers, right?
No, Brown and Rogers. Golston and Whitner are the safeties.
Oh yeah, you lost me there. Shoot, you start throwing names around with you.
I'm sorry.
I'm still. It's only Tuesday. I'm on.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm on numbers still.
So okay.
Start over with that one.
Okay. How tough is their secondary? Let's just
fantastic.
Simplify that.
Fantastic.
And what challenges does the hard-hitting safeties present?
Well, their safeties are very physical, good tacklers, and they have taken some shots on some wide receivers. But I think that'll be something our guys will actually get up for the challenge of that. Our guys usually like that kind of a challenge.
Dirk, especially based on what you saw last week from your offense, how do you game plan this week for, say, what percentage of no huddle do you run? How much do you run Michael Turner? How much do you run Quiz? How do you go about game planning like that?
Well, I don't read or listen to anything you guys say, number one. Okay, because everyone's got an opinion on that. And, you know, what you got to understand is we always have a no huddle plan. We always have a rotation plan. But then you get into the game, and sometimes it just doesn't go that way. I mean, sometimes your huddle stuff is going well, so you don't want to get into no huddle. Quiz got hot the other day. I mean, Quiz got hot running the ball early in the game. He hit three or four runs right in a row, but then Mike came back and did an excellent job. Mike had three explosive runs in that game. So we will have a plan, and it will all be based specifically on how we think we can attack San Francisco. It will have nothing to do with last week or any other week. I mean, we're playing this game this week. Game plan will be based on that, and then once we get in there, the fact that we do have some depth, we can go with the hot guy at times.
I know it's always best laid plans, but in your head, if the offense is playing the ideal way that you had mapped it out going into the game, what percentage would you see in no huddle if you had your dream scenario?
Yeah, I don't even ever think like that. So, you know, I don't know. I really don't. I'm not trying to hide anything. I just we don't think of it like that. We're prepared to go the whole game no huddle if we have to, and we're prepared to play no plays in no huddle if we want to. And you know, you just don't know how the game's going to go. But we'll be ready either way.
How much do you change as a generally with the game? You know, you, like you said, you have a plan and you draw it up and think.
Not that much. Yeah, not that much.
Does it stay a lot of? Usually stays. You're pretty.
Well, I mean, again, we have a process that we go through, and all the coaches are involved in that. I believe in our process a lot, and I think you make good decisions during the week, and you make lesser decisions when you're under pressure. I mean, pressure. Trust me, the pressure of what's going on in those games, that can get you. So we do make adjustments. We do take input from the players, and we got some excellent coaches that give suggestions during the game. But I'm a big believer in, we've spent all this time during the week in our preparation. We're going to stick pretty close to that.
Dirk, you're
online. This isn't your first rodeo?
I'm sorry?
Does it help that this isn't your first rodeo?
Every game, you know, every game is... You know, it doesn't matter. Your first game, 17th game, whatever. It's all, you know, we gotta play our best in this one game, and that's it.
Your O-line, undersung, and I think it was one hit maybe on that the whole game, and just how they played this last game and how important it is for this game.
Yeah, well, it's important every game, especially with a front like the 49ers have, and our guys did an excellent job last week. I mean, we protected well. Matt did a good job of getting the ball out of his hand on time, and then obviously we've got receivers winning their matchups. But that's – you know, every quarterback in the league plays better when they're not getting hit, and Matt's no exception to that.
Even with the more physical defenses you'll face?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Very physical.
Even with the differences in the game plan from week to week, can you take some of those successes in the running game and use that going forward?
I wish it was that easy. I mean, if you were going to say that, you wouldn't just be limited to the running game. I mean, you take successes across the board. It's just not that simple. I mean, when a play works, it's for a variety of reasons. Sometimes scheme, sometimes matchup, sometimes heck. How many times did you think Jacquizz was going to just run over their free safety? I mean, so there's just a lot of variables there that you can't plan for every single one of them. You just go with your percentages and live with it.
How about Jacquizz's pickup on the last play of the
game?
That
was awesome. Man, that was one of those things that's. There's so many little things at the end of the game. On the play before that, Harry Douglas's patience on waiting for Roddy to clear out that zone. Tony picked off the underneath coverage, and then Harry getting in the perfect spot for that 22-yard gain or whatever. And then on the last play, everybody's focused on the fact that Matt hits Tony for the catch to get in field goal range. But Jacquizz was on what we call a scan. He came all the way across the field and blocked the outside rusher. And, when you look at it on film, you're still not sure he's going to get there, but he did.
Just your feeling for Tony, I mean, having that, clinching catch, but also just him going against their linebackers because they seem pretty good in coverage.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. They are as good of linebackers in coverage as we've seen. That was, obviously a huge play that Tony made. But that was a huge play. And then his run afterwards, I mean, that's another thing, is he took that ball, caught it on the 36, spun out of that tackle and took it down to the 31. So that was a five-yard run after catch, which Tony never gets enough credit for. The first guy hardly ever tackles Tony. I mean, he doesn't run for 90 yards, but the first guy hardly ever tackles him. But that was a huge play.
How much is this year? I know you've been asked, but just personally satisfying. And you came in here. I mean, there were a lot of us and everybody question. You didn't have a lot of weapons in Jacksonville. Y'all didn't do a lot offensively. And, a kind of a pick that people were sort of questioning, and you to come in and kind of have the year offensively that you guys have had. What does it mean to you personally?
Well, I've said every time I like coming to work. It's a great place to work. I work with great coaches for a great organization and certainly work with great players. So, that part is a lot of fun. And let's just keep it going. Let's have fun for a few more weeks.
Your rushing attack ranked 29th going into that game at the end of the regular season.
What are we up to now? What did we get to? 28
and a half? Four. Only four left.
You indicated or showed a lot of confidence in your running game to be able to go into a playoff game, which the franchise is under a lot of pressure, to try to use so many running plays early on, especially, and they worked. Does those type of considerations go through your mind, anything other than the X's and O's when you're going to a game like that?
Sometimes, but if you've watched us this year, in a lot of our games when we've got off to a fast start, we've ran the ball early, and Mike Turner and Jacquizz, go clear back to the Tampa game at Tampa, and we've come out of the gates, and we've set a nice tempo running the football. We haven't always maintained it. And that's a story for another day. It's no individual's fault. But we're always going to try to go out and be balanced on first and second down. It's easy to stay balanced when you're moving the chains. If you're not gaining any yards, it's a little tougher to do that. And there's individual circumstances to every game. Last week Seattle had just lost Clemens, and they were starting a new guy at defensive end who was a little bit undersized. We wanted to see if he could hold up in the running game. Last I checked, the Niners didn't lose anybody in this game, so I don't know what we're going to do this week.
How much of an advantage playing in close games, and does that inform your play calling?
Well, the close game thing, I think a lot of that has to do with the quarterback and then the confidence that everybody gets from him. If you talk to the players, they'll say the fact that they've been there before, they believe Matt's going to find a way, then that makes the guys protect that much longer. Obviously, we have guys different guys have shown up making plays on the outside. Roddy going back to the Carolina game. Harry made that play the other day. Tony, a play at the end. We've had different guys step up when they need to. So I think that's more of a player thing. You know, there's a lot of nerves going from where I was sitting in that game. But, I mean, we do practice that stuff all the time. There wasn't panic. The guys know what to do. But knowing what to do and making the plays are two different things, and that's a player issue, and the players did a great job.
Two more guys.
What about Smitty? I mean, you know him well. I'm Coach Witt. What beyond the obvious, I mean, obviously he knows football, but what makes him, you know, to do the job he's done here, what stands out to you as his greatest attribute as a coach
I think he's real consistent with the players. I mean, I think if you would ask the players, Smitty has a very consistent approach. It's simple. He has a plan, and he works his plan every day, and he isn't changing faces every day. He's got the same messaging. He knows what he wants. He asks the guys for it during the week, and he stays with it, and the players know what they're going to get. I think, and we all like that. And, you know, you like that from your bosses, just like I like it from my boss.
I guess a guy like Kaepernick, is it important for the offense to kind of possess the ball and keep a dangerous guy, X factor like that off the field?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's something. Every game will take on its own life. We sometimes have that as one of our goals, to possess the ball, but, you know, right now, as we're standing here on Tuesday early in the week, we're just trying to figure out how to make a field goal against these guys. You know, how can we score any points? I mean, so possessing the ball is down my list right now, but obviously the game he had last week, that would be important.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Coach.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay. Efficient. Not too.